welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hot stuff.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast with Owen Main here. I have today the founder of ballhype.com, among other things, Brian Milne. Brian, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah. It's my pleasure, and glad we finally got you on here. You're somebody that a few people have said that we need to talk to. People have said, you need to talk to Brian Milne. You guys are a local blog. You need to talk to Brian Milne. Brian is apparently like the local blog godfather or something like that. I don't know.
Well, it's funny that we hooked up through Ballhype, too, which is kind of a site where I have all these national bloggers writing about all these random topics from, you know, the Red Sox to the Florida Gators. And then here I see you guys here writing in our own backyard. So it was nice to hook up and talk about the blogosphere with you.
The blogosphere. Talk about the blogosphere, especially as it pertains to sports. It seems like there are a lot of blogs out there. It was one of the things that when we started fansmanship.com about a year and a half ago, it was kind of a, I don't want to say like a concern, but it was something that we had to think about because there are so many that are so similar, I guess, or who kind of regurgitate stuff. And we had to kind of think about how we were going to be or how we wanted to be online and how we wanted to look online. Talk about kind of how especially sports blogs have kind of evolved over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, I remember my first blog at the Tribune. I started that in 2003 or 2004.
And not to interrupt, but Brian was the slow college beat writer for the Tribune before J.D. Scroggin, the current one, right? So you preceded J.D.?
Yeah, I was there from just after Y2K. I started at the Tribune, and I was there for almost 10 years as a sports writer for the first 8 years or so of that, and then became web editor, and then that kind of got me back into the tech world. I was always kind of a hacker on the side, but you couldn't really learn how to do web design and stuff in college back in the late 90s. So
sure.
I kind of just did two time in it. And then, you know, finally everything kind of came full circle with Ballhype. But yeah, started at the Tribune. And I think we launched our blogs for the first time in 2003 or 2004. And I wasn't really coming through journalism, and you know, I had a grandfather who wrote for the LA Times, Dan Hafner.
Okay.
And I was always kind of a print guy, so it was hard for me to make that jump, even though I was kind of hacking on the side.
Sure.
So my first blog, I think I named it Brian's Lame and Obscure Garbage, which didn't go over well, but it, you know, it's spelled blog, and I thought it was funny. And I actually got reprimanded from my editor at the time for kind of just making fun of blogging and whatnot.
But at that time, I mean, if you're talking about 10 years ago, even, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, blogs were definitely looked down upon. And when I first started, when we started fansmanship.com, I didn't really want to call it a blog because it still had that kind of a stigma. I was like, yeah, it's a site and we do stuff, but we didn't really want to call it a blog because then it just kind of got lumped in with kind of the non-factual regurgitated stigma that blogs have, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Especially if you're in sports media or journalism like we all were. Yeah, the blog kind of had a negative connotation. So, but yeah, it's come a long way since. I mean, blog is a household name now. It's more mainstream. I remember guys were writing their senior papers about the blogosphere and what's going to come of this thing. And now it's just totally taken over with these huge blog networks that are getting, you know, they're only second fiddle to like ESPN or Yahoo and some of these major sports media sites now.
Yeah.
So you can compete with guys who have been in journalism for 20 years, even though you have 2 months experience now.
Right. And I know I've read a lot that's kind of interesting as far as those guys who are established in sports and in media and their take on things like Bleacher Report, for instance, because Bleacher Report is huge and it's been getting like a lot of, you know, if you type it into Google, you'll get a lot of like Bleacher Report articles that, again, are maybe all hearsay, but they don't have to be factual. That's part of their deal, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are really frustrated by that.
Exactly. And that's kind of why I started BallHyped.com 2 years ago. The premise behind it was to create a social sharing site where independent sports bloggers like you guys that have your own site could put out the word about your blog, and people can vote it up, and people can all get together, and it's the community votes on what the top stories of the day are. So it makes your our homepage your front page of the sports section, basically. So that's what we're all about, just promoting independent sports bloggers.
And basically a national sports section.
Yeah, national. Right, you know, we want to promote the guys that are that have their own domains and are putting in their own work and aren't part of these, you know, quantity over quality sites. We want to promote the best sports content out there in the blogosphere that aren't mainstream media sites that don't need the help promoting their site. We're all about promoting the people that need to get promoted.
Great. Talk about the development of Ball Hype. Like you said, you're trying to kind of help some of those sites that are more independent. And you started it almost exactly 2 years ago, right? 2 years on
Thursday? Yeah, 2 years ago on September 13th.
Which is Thursday.
Yeah, it was Thursday because I was going to go down to WordCamp LA, the WordPress conference down there. Uh-huh. And I decided, you know what? I've been talking about doing this blog or this social sharing community, if you will, for almost a year. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to this conference. I'm going to lock myself in a room for 3 days straight and spend that time I would spend at a conference on this site. So I just sat in there with WordPress all weekend. I barely slept. I slept like 8 hours all weekend. And I just cranked out this site. And we made it like a dig for sports bloggers, if you will. And
did you know WordPress before?
Yeah, I'd use WordPress at the Tribune or some of the...
Right, okay.
I've written for a couple... bigger sites in my day job.
Sure.
So, just took my knowledge of that platform and just, you know how it is with WordPress with your site, you just keep evolving with it. And it's just grown like crazy the past 2 years.
Keep finding new widgets and things to do.
Exactly.
I know for us, one big thing for the basketball season, when we write about the NBA or even the baseball season for the rest of the year, mm-hmm. I found a great like baseball reference widget that you can basically just click a button and it automatically links all the player names. Like it goes through and finds them automatically. And I was so excited about that because we've gone through and like physically had to link all those player names in our site.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For so long. So, you know, baseballreference.com or basketballreference.com or whatever, definitely a good thing. So Ball Hyped is a national blog. Were there any other blogs that you were involved in or that you still are that are like more regional?
Not anymore. We redirected everything. I started my first technical blog was in the, I don't know, late 90s before blog was even a term in 99.
Right. It was just a site, like your own site that you wrote
for. Yeah, it was basically a forum that I had hacked to be a fishing blog, if you will. I think it was... CaliforniaAngler.com.
Are you a big fisherman
anymore? Yeah,
I'm a huge fisherman. Something we got to talk about in a second. Yeah,
yeah. I wrote a fishing guide about fishing out here in Central California, and a lot of that content I took for the guide actually came from this blog that I created in the late 90s, and it was just basically a forum that every day I'd go fishing, I'd post photos or like a report from that day. And you know, there's a lot of guys that would, there's even some guys that would be posting from like Morro Bay, like sailors that come in after fishing all day for halibut or whatever. They'd run over to Verges, get on their wireless and like start posting a report, So that was good times. And that's kind of what got me into it. And then that evolved into a blogger site. And then it became, a WordPress site. And then, I just became a WordPress homer ever since.
So are we talking like Atascadero Lake catfish?
Not quite. I don't think A Lake made the fishing guide level on the blog. But yeah, Santa Margarita, Lopez Lake, all the big ones.
Okay. Massimiano, San Antonio.
Of course.
Yeah, okay. I'm a notorious non-fisherman, and our family is notorious non-fishermen. We pick like the wrong week to go up to try to fish for salmon, but we go anyway, and nobody's catching salmon, but we, pay the guide and go out there anyway. And
nice.
Get skunked for $600 or whatever it is a person. And, my parents have had a boat now for the last, 10 or 12 years. And I've caught, I think, one fish in that time.
Wow.
Every time I go out there, it's nothing.
I've written a hiking guide too. If you want to, you can check that out since you're not much
like,
of an angler.
Like, are these things for sale?
Yeah.
Like where can I get the fishing and hiking guide?
You used
guide?
To be able to get it right here at Borders till they shut it down, but
really,
yeah, just Barnes and Noble has them right up front there.
How do you publish something like that? Did you have a publisher for it, or was it kind of self published, or what'd you do?
I self published the fishing guide.
Okay.
From that blog, basically repackaged that and designed it myself with my design skills.
Really?
Working at a small paper, you learn how to do everything, right? And that kind of opened the door to Wilderness Press, which published the hiking guide. because they didn't publish hiking, or they didn't publish fishing guides at the time, but they're like, hey, we need a hiking guide in the area. Are you interested? Sure. So I did 100 hikes in a year and a half and wrote about the top 50 of them.
Just all local ones?
Most from Monterey to Santa Barbara County. Okay. So up and down Central California.
Like the three counties there.
Yeah, Central Coast.
Not really the tri-counties, but the Central Coast,
yeah.
I think.
The true
Central Coast.
The true coast, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. I didn't know that about you.
There you go.
So you can pick that up from Brian Milne somewhere. Maybe email him or something. Maybe he can figure it out. It's
the hiking guide's top trails, Central California. Okay. And then the fishing guide is fishing Central California.
Okay. There you go. One question I had I've talked to a few of the Cal Poly coaches recently, kind of moving to local sports, and the volleyball coach, Sam Crossan, the new volleyball coach, and also Faith Mimna, the women's basketball coach I've talked to. And one question I had for Sam especially was, what is the talent level like around San Luis County, and how important is it for Cal Poly to keep guys who are talented and local to keep them here? Now, when you talk about like a Derek Jasper, a kid from Paso who's getting recruited by Kentucky, it's kind of a no-brainer, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can go play at Kentucky, then you go play at Kentucky probably. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about like, I know there's like a 6'3", 275 offensive lineman from Templeton who signed to play football at Cal Poly. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty cool recently. And I asked him about kind of is the talent level in local high schools this, you know, the same per capita, different, you know, lower or higher per capita. And he said he thought it was about the same. There's just not a lot of kids around here. Is that kind of something that you think is accurate in your experience kind of around these parts?
I think so. I mean, there is lower division athletes here because they play in lower divisions. But, I mean, you know.
Most of the schools are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about, like, you know, the even schools like Morro Bay or Templeton aren't in hugely high divisions in southern section.
Exactly. So you're not getting guys that were playing in Division One or whatever. But at the same time, there are some really good athletes out there. We've seen it with Derek Jasper and some of those guys.
Right.
But even Jasper didn't get recruited that hard by Cal Poly. You would think a guy that good growing up in your backyard, even if he is getting sniffs from SEC schools or whatever it is, you might, you know, throw the guy a bone, go visit him. And
it seems like a lot of people had issues with Bromley for that, like,
yeah,
back in the day.
I think so. And there's been a couple kids who were really good who came through Cuesta that got overlooked.
That went other places.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's, you know, sometimes they think it's an academic thing or whatever it is.
But it used to be kind of a feeder. I mean, you used to be able to like go to Cuesta for a year or two as like a feeder to Cal Poly almost, even,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I don't think there's really an excuse because you see it happen all the time with baseball. You know, you see it all the time with baseball, even softball and some of the other schools. So why couldn't it work for basketball? So I don't know. We could ask Bromley that, but he's not here anymore.
Yeah, he's
so
at UCSB, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's the biggest difference since you have this blog that's kind of a national blog? What's the biggest difference between media and or coverage in a small town of sports and coverage of sports in a place maybe like LA or San Francisco or San Diego or somewhere else, even in California? Because I think regionally people think about sports differently, but if you compare the Central Coast to a bigger city in California, what are some of the similarities and differences you see in terms of, I guess, style or style of coverage, and is the media locally getting any better in your estimation in their coverage?
That's a tricky one. Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing I notice nationally is the passion. You know, there's just diehard, crazy fans that you'll see in Boston or New York, or even when Paulie goes and plays Montana football. You'll go to Montana, and on every window downtown, you'll see players painted on the windows. Or you'll go get a Coke, and you'll see one of the players in the Coke machine, like on the marketing collateral there. That stuff doesn't happen here in San Luis Obispo, and that's because in Montana, they don't have a professional team. So they're just diehard about the Grizzlies there. So that's the biggest thing I noticed just in all my travels when, you know, I went to Montana three or four times when I was covering Cal Poly at the Tribune here.
Right.
And just the passion, I think, is what blows me away. Because here there's so many things to do. We saw it on Saturday where it's a beautiful day, so you're not going to get, you know, 20,000 people to come out to a football game. You're going to be lucky to get 10,000, 12,000.
Yeah, last Saturday against San Diego, and I think there was only six
exactly.
at the game, which is, you know, about half full.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was about right, actually, as far as the numbers go. So you think it's just a matter of there being so much else to do?
Here in California,
right.
I mean, why doesn't LA have an NFL team? Yeah,
because you can sit at home and watch it and pick your team, really.
Yeah, and there's so much stuff to do in Southern California.
Yeah.
I think that is part of it. And then the media scrutiny here.
Yeah. So you're kind of a self-proclaimed kind of media critic, I guess, at times.
I do enjoy writing about the media a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do, too. And I write about things like national media narcissism,
mm-hmm.
and national media kind of when people talk about created stories and then the media doing stories on the creation that they created and whether they created it or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more frustrating or... The other thing that's kind of my pet peeve, since we're talking about me, is this concept of how much the ratings matter. And if I'm a fan and I'm watching the game, then what am I supposed to do if other people aren't watching it? And I wrote about this like a couple of months ago, a year ago, something like that. If other people aren't watching it, am I supposed to go, oh, nobody else is watching it. Woe is me. This game's not as good as I thought it was. If I'm watching it and I'm enjoying it, why is that a story that nobody's watching it? I get the business aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
and how the two are intertwined, but I really feel like sometimes that's kind of a made up story too for very few people who care.
Yeah.
That's my big like national pet peeve.
Yeah.
What are some local pet peeves that you have?
Well, you got me thinking about the national one first,
okay,
the
go
Tebow
ahead.
Stuff. Just kills me. And I'm a Gators fan, actually. I grew
Are
up
you? Okay.
Yeah, just back when they made their run in the Final Four. I love the Gators. I'm talking college basketball here. And
like Joakim Noah run?
Yes. Or before that, even with Andrew DeClercq and the Meat Hook and some of those guys back when I was in high school, you know, in the mid 90s.
Okay.
So that's what first started getting me into it.
Because I'm a UCLA fan, so that Joakim Noah team just cut me.
I bet.
You know, 3 years in a row, basically.
Yeah, I always followed, like, Steve Spurrier, too, and those Gator teams, so.
Uh-huh. Danny Werfel.
But even, yeah, exactly. But even the Tebow stuff is just, it's insane. I can't even watch it anymore, you know? And now all of a sudden it's not a story because, you know, Sanchez had a good ball game. But, you know, they still bring it up because
right.
it's ratings. It's all about ratings. So that kind of answers your question about the media now versus, you know, where it was 5 or 6 years ago.
So it's more, I mean, and it's obvious, it's more about, how many people will listen to it, but why does it show how stupid America is when people are listening to it more when there's that drivel, when there's the Tim Tebow drivel? Is that, I mean, or the, you know, whatever the story is, whether it's Roger Clemens coming back, people want to hear about that really, or Brett Favre. I mean, God, these are like the lowest common denominator to me. And it gets really frustrating. Is it like kind of just proof of how dumb we are as a country sports wise?
I don't even know if it's just sports wise. You saw it with the conventions, right? We're facing a crazy election right now. So much is on the line right now with the economy the way it is right now, uh-huh. and more people are interested in Honey Boo Boo or whatever instead of watching the conventions. It's crazy,
Boo-Boo.
You know.
I saw a Facebook post last night from a friend that said, I didn't know what Honey Boo Boo was, so I looked it up, and I wish I hadn't, and I still haven't looked it up. I think it has something to do with toddlers and tiaras, but I'm going to try to stay away from it.
Yeah, but more people watch that show than the Republican convention, you know?
Right,
And it's the same thing with sports. They're going to sensationalize whatever is going to not sell papers, but ratings, you know? Meanwhile, the papers aren't doing that because they're actually doing real journalism. Unfortunately, they're cutting, you know, some of the bigger...
Is the newspaper a dying industry?
If they don't evolve, it is. Yeah, right. I mean, the way Google ranks sites, newspapers have more authority than blogs or any other sites out there.
Because they have higher standards, theoretically.
Yeah. It's all about domain authority.
Right.
So if they grab hold of the web and accept it and dominate the web, they can still run away with it. There's no way the blogosphere or the bloggers can catch up to mainstream media if they go after it.
If they put their energy into the web,
I
agree. But not all of them are, or as quickly as they need to, I feel like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not at the Tribune anymore.
Well, there you go.
You know, when you're cutting off all your fingers, it's hard to crank out all these stories that the Tribune needs to do. You know, and that's, you could see by the number of bylines in every day's Tribune. I mean, the bylines have been cut in half since 4 or 5 years ago. And it's just the nature of the beast. You need to make cutbacks to, you know, fill this hole that's been created by a giant corporation, and some of the smaller papers are kind of footing the bill for this, you know, this hole that's created by the larger corporations. So that's where small newspapers are kind of, and I'm going to get myself into trouble by saying that, but no, that's where they're getting into paper.
Well, you won't because you don't work there anymore. I might, JD might not come back on my podcast, but and for the record, I enjoy the coverage that they're able to do. It's just that, you know, like you said, I mean, the Tribune's able to do a couple of stories a day, and that's what they're able to do. I mean, that's the ability they have to cover stuff. And there's probably, even in a small town like San Luis, there are probably more interesting stories than that. And that's kind of where we try to, I guess, fit in, is just be able to cover some of the randomness. I was at like the Cal Poly soccer game the other day and got some good like pictures. And so that was kind of, you know, one of those. There's a lot of Cal Poly sports. There's a lot of high school sports that just don't get covered. Because there's just not room for it. So,
for sure. No, I respect the heck out of the Tribune sports staff, and they've been doing a good job. I mean, since I left, they haven't shrunk that sports desk down any. I mean, 10 years ago when Eric was there, Eric Burdick, we had him covering preps. He covered one league in preps, and then Dan Ruthmeyer was covering another league in preps, and then you had Pete Wallner covering Cal Poly, just the major sports at Cal Poly. Then you had another guy, Greg Manifold.
Eric used to cover my high school football games sometimes. Yeah,
but how great was that? You had two or three or four people covering preps.
Right.
And then you had
two guys. They could actually get out to a practice and do a preview or something.
And you
had
one guy covering Cal Poly, one guy covering Cuesta. I mean, that was the heyday.
Sure. And then the internet came in as far as being, like you said, like Yahoo Sports and stuff like that. And it's harder and harder for local stuff to compete, but I always feel like there's a local niche. I worked at a local paper in Florida, and it was like the local edition of the Tampa Tribune.
Okay.
And it was just this small section with huge pictures, huge pictures. And it was a daily sports page. It was like one or two pages. And it had, some days it had a half page picture in color of a seventh grade girl softball pitcher, and, you know, in Little League. And the next day it would be, you know, a quarter page with a story on a rec league softball game with pictures. And the editor said to me one time, you know, he goes, what sells, you know, this is local stuff. This is what sells. Parents want to buy these papers. And if we're going to keep selling papers, or if we're going to keep getting, you know, people from this area on the website, even, this is what we have to do, is we have to kind of really surround it. I used to make faces. Can you hear me? We had a big faux pas right there. When I said I used to make faces, I don't know what the deal was. I used to make faces at, we had a little technical difficulty. I used to make faces when I used to have to cover like beer league softball tournament one day. And I was thinking to myself, what's going on here? But that's what sold papers. And
definitely.
The next day I went and covered like Bronson Arroyo's start against the Devil Rays.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of just a random wow. thing. Talk to me about the development of Ball Hyped, where you talked about where it came from. Talk about since it started, like, what did it start like? How big was it as it started? And then like, talk about its growth, I guess, over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I worked really hard to promote it early on and just got a lot of those small bloggers to share their stuff on there. I mean, there's a ton of original content.
Did you like go out
on...
and find small bloggers to and like say, hey, post it on here, or I posted this on here for you the first time, or stuff like that? Yeah.
Because there's definitely value there, because, you know, you share your content on there and it's going to get traffic to your site. You're going to get a link back to your site from a valuable domain.
Sure.
So just the SEO value and the traffic value and just the exposure. Everybody wants to get the word out about their stuff. You write a story, you want to see it in the paper the next day. You know, it's the same kind of thing online. You write your post, you want to see it on other people's sites, getting links and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of, you know, the site kind of sold itself from that perspective. Uh-huh. And then we've just tried to evolve it, you know, trying to, you know, write our own original content on there. We're creating a new blog network on our own. That's at ballhype.net. Just everything we can to kind of keep pushing the envelope and just keep evolving and keep competing, because it's competitive. Sports media out there, I mean, how many publications and sites have we rattled off in just a half an hour so far?
Right.
Like, you know, there's a lot of competition out there. And if you want to stay relevant, you have to keep evolving.
Do you have to have a niche too? Do you have to have something that like is a... I feel like there's no one-stop sports site as much as ESPN or Yahoo, Yahoo's I think almost as close as it gets for a one-stop sports site. I've always been, since I was in college, I've always been stoked about them, but then they just changed their look, and I really don't like it. And mm-hmm. maybe I'm just getting old. I'm, you know, in my 30s now, so you know, what do I know? But is there a one-stop thing, or are sports websites kind of, you know, to each their own taste, and there are places for different sites and niches and things like that?
The latter, yeah. I think your homepage is basically Google News. Search for what you want to find, and then start following it, or Twitter or Facebook, whatever platform you prefer. Uh-huh. And that's kind of what I was hoping to do with Ball Hyped, right? Yeah. Create that front page where the community is the editor, if you will, and determines what stories are on the front page. So we're getting there, but there, like you said, there's so many bloggers out there, and there's so much content that, you know, somebody's going to write about Tennessee women's basketball, and that's going to get on there because it's going to get some votes. And is it one of the top 10 stories of that day? Who knows? But it depends on when content is submitted, who votes it up, how many people are behind that community. Yeah. Yeah. You've seen some of those really niche, like, whatever, Oakland A's blogs, and they have great content. And they're writing about what's the starting lineup for today. It's totally something you just
there's
get
like
out of
five
the box
Dodger
for.
Blogs like yeah, that. Yeah, exactly. that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and so I think it is really niche. It comes down to, you know, finding that fan base and serving them what they want.
And the name makes a big difference. My favorite name is Mike Socia's TragicIllness.com. Or Vin Scully as my homeboy.com for the Dodger blogs.
Yeah, that Vin Scully one's funny.
I don't get the Mike Socia. Like, I don't know why he has a tragic illness, and why, like, they're like, they have like a disclaimer. We don't wish anything bad happens to Mike Socia. We love him. That's why we named it after him.
It's just because he turned his back on the organization and went across town, or
maybe it's because he wears Angels red. Maybe that's his tragic illness that he doesn't bleed Dodger blue anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. So locally, is there room, like, you know, that's kind of something that we're trying to do. Reassure me here. Locally, is there room and space for additional coverage? I saw recently that ESPN Radio, along with doing the Cal Poly stuff and the Cal Poly Coaches Show, is also hosting a half hour Thursday night high school football show mm-hmm. with Bill Halter, the guy from KSBY, the 6'7" sports anchor from KSBY. Mm-hmm. Locally, is there still more room to grow as far as sports coverage goes? Do you think people have an interest in that locally here in Slo County, being a North County native?
I think so. I mean, look at where we were 10, 12 years ago. There was all these weeklies that aren't here anymore. So that niche is still waiting to be filled.
Weeklies like the Sun Bulletin? Is that still around?
I started at the Tribune writing for the North County Tribune.
Okay.
There was actually a weekly that came out once or twice a week in Paso Robles.
Was that like the equivalent of the Sun Bulletin in Morro Bay?
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, there was, you know, you still have Tascadero News, but then there was the Gazettes too. There's those weekly Gazettes everywhere.
And you have the Tolosa Press ones still mm-hmm. are around, which are good.
Yeah. But I think all those weeklies, there's probably half of them now. You know, so yeah, there's definitely a niche there, and the internet has made it so easy now to just throw a site up in a weekend like I did and start covering what you're passionate about. And, you know, that's what it's all about, because you're not going to be able to cover every single game or do a box score for every single game. It's about writing interesting
sidebars.
Or side
the details.
Bars,
yeah, and yeah.
Or commentary on something, or some great photos. One thing, you can't do everything.
One thing that I say is that if you want like nuts and bolts, what happened when, who's injured, you know, the starting lineups. If you want that kind of analysis, follow JD's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's really awesome. That's like, he knows more about, you know, especially with football, he knows more about what's going on with football that way. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to write about the fact that the defense looked like they were crushing guys that, you know, in the first game, or you know, something kind of more specific or particular. And we are actually trying to post photos as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we're trying to do more of, and WordPress is helpful for that.
And that's the way it should be, right? I mean, those guys should be the experts on this subject,
right?
Working on it full time.
And if I'm a blog, I shouldn't be. That's not my responsibility, because in by definition, and I try to be pretty responsible, but by definition, blogs don't have to be as responsible.
Yeah.
It's the, so.
And that's kind of going back, finishing up that thought about how I just respect the heck out of those guys, because they still have a really small group there, and they're still doing as good a coverage as they did, you know, 3 years ago, even with that small staff. It's definitely not as great as in the heyday when they had twice the staff, but they're still, you know, they're still breaking news.
Yeah.
And everyone is still piggybacking off what they do, which is great.
Definitely. So you think there is space for additional coverage? That makes me feel better locally.
I think so. Well, you see with the TV stations too, KCOY cutting a lot of their sports coverage, and some of the smaller stations just cutting back their staff.
Fox cut their staff, I think a ton. Yeah.
Who's going to fill that void in the new media space? You might not be doing video, but you're doing stuff like this podcast, right, or you're going to be blogging about it.
I actually appreciate the fact that it's the KSBY guy doing the radio show. I think that goes a long way. I think, you know, Halter does a really good job. I wish he would be able to do play-by-play for more Cal Poly games, because to do play-by-play, and I don't know how much you've done, but for one game a year, which is essentially what he gets to do, the UCSB game, he does a really good job for that one game a year at Mott Gym. I know a lot of people are critical of KSBY's coverage, but when you have a crew that does it once a year, it's not going to go as smoothly as if you did it at least a few times.
Yeah.
One thing I was reminiscing about today, because I knew I was going to talk to you, back circa 1998, 1999, on the local cable public access channels. I don't know if you remember this, but they used to show high school sports with some dudes. I mean, it was like some dudes sitting courtside, and I don't even know who they were, but the next day you'd be able to watch the game just played in. And, you know, they didn't cover all the games, but they covered a few of, like, our baseball games over at Templeton and a CIF championship game that we were in, or a state playoff game or something in basketball. And I remember watching it and going, gosh, this is awesome. And if I was a parent or anybody who's at all interested locally, I think high school sports, as much as I hate them being on ESPN, I think local public access is actually a really great place for high school sports if you can work it out.
There's so much technology at our fingertips, but I don't think there's still as much coverage as there was probably 10 years ago, when there was all these papers and all the radio stations and all the TV stations were covering the heck out of local sports. So yeah, get after it.
So Ball Hype, to me, when I just hear Ball Hyped, I think of basketball. I don't know why. What's your favorite sport?
I don't have a favorite sport.
Oh, come on.
No, honestly, like, that's what I loved about, I totally have ADD, right? That's why I love designing websites, because I could design one website and then move on to another and then move on to another. Like, and that's what I loved about covering Cal Poly sports or being a sports writer, because it's seasonal. You know, when I get tired of talking to a football coach all year and get tired of his coachisms, you know, I can move on to basketball. And then when I'm really tired of it being in a gym for 3 or 4 months out of the year,
it starts getting
warm
again.
I can go outside and watch baseball,
right?
You know, so I do love the seasonality in it. I played, you know, 3 or 4 sports in high school. I enjoy different sports. This past weekend, though, was pretty sweet with NFL, college football. It's like Christmas weekend to me. So this is probably my favorite time of year. Uh-huh. But I also love, you know, World Series. I love the Stanley Cup. I'm not a huge hockey guy, but is there anything better than a Game 7 in Stanley Cup finals? Yeah. You know, I love that kind of stuff.
My football is the only sport that I don't, like, have a real passionate team that I root for. I used to kind of like the Rams when I was little, and then they moved, and I used it as an excuse to disown them. And not a real big fan of the 49ers or whatever, but, you know, a lot of people are. And I'm kind of an old Rams fan, so I can't like the 49ers.
Yeah.
The Raiders are the Raiders, and, you know, I guess I lived in San Diego for 4 years and kind of adopted the Chargers, but I can't even really claim them. So when football season rolls around, I'm kind of the ultimate ADD with football games. If there's a good game on that's compelling, that's what I want to see. I want to see that good game. Back in college, when I interned at a radio station, before the Sunday Ticket was a possibility, or right when it was kind of first a possibility, there was a bank of about 8 TVs. And there would be a different game on every TV, and we'd, you know, be rolling the radio highlights and having to, like, get, you know, if somebody scores a touchdown, you run and press record on the, because it's, you know, 30 seconds delayed or whatever, and you can record it for the radio. But those Sundays were like the greatest Sundays in the world, because I would go in at 9 o'clock in the morning and leave by about 3 and be able to watch, you know, 14 football games or, you know, 13 football games on 8 TVs over the course of 6 hours. And, and that for me is like, that's what you talk about Christmas. I mean, that was Christmas for sure.
Definitely.
Have you ever seen the Red Zone channel? Are you?
Yeah. Do you we have, got it free this past week, and I was just like,
oh, so you have DirecTV?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're giving fun. You a free preview.
It's kind of, it's almost like being in at a Vegas sports book on like, a Sunday, you know, when you have like you just explain 13 games on, you're just like in heaven.
It's like crack for a football fan. It's like, it oh, wait, show me another person who's going to score. Yeah.
It's nice for me too. I have 3 kids nowadays under the age of 5. So I spend a lot of time in front of the TV on Sundays because my wife works. So I'm Mr. Mom juggling kids. And
so yeah, having TV that Red Zone
channel is nice. Yeah, for sure.
There you go. So you don't have a favorite sport. Give me a couple of the sports that you're partial to. What did you play in high school? Come on.
I didn't play football in high school.
Okay.
Even though that was when Atascadero won like 5 straight CIF titles when I was in school.
Was Trayvon?
He was there toward, I think he was there in 96. I remember
he was like a really good running back.
But I was there for all the Larry Welsh teams that they swept. We won a CIF title every year I was there. Maybe it was my fansmanship that did it, though.
There you go. I don't know. I like it.
But yeah, baseball and basketball, pretty much. And then I ran cross country for like a day before I realized you had to run like 5-10 miles a day.
So Tamalier was your basketball coach at Tascadero?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I went to basketball camp all the time. It's at Cuesta. And that's something that I don't think is around anymore. And there's other camps around, but the Coach Hansen basketball camp at Cuesta College was always one. And so I got to kind of, you get to know some of those other coaches from around the county, too. And I guess he just retired, Tamalier.
Yeah.
He'd been there for what, 20, 25 years?
Yeah. 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do enjoy that. I mean, you know, I've lived here pretty much my whole life and, you know, yeah, I love all these little local tales. Like, this is a blast just talking about all these old times, you know, and I think it's even gotten better for me almost stepping away from being, you know, in hardcore sports journalism where I could sit back now and I could sit in the stands and enjoy a game. I could clap my hands without not being objective. You know, I can almost say I enjoy sports now because it's not a profession.
Do you have to lose a little bit of your fansmanship when you're in a press box, when you're covering a game for a newspaper? You have to lose a little bit of it, right? Or at least bottle it up for a while.
Oh, for sure. Like, you know, I started the Tribune in 2000 and never took a hat, I tried not to even take a free snack at events. Like, I was really objective.
Really? Not a free snack?
No. Like,
a root beer or a Pepsi?
No, I tried my best. Oh, like, I was pretty diehard. Like, I never cheered. I never was a Cal Poly fan of anything.
For the record, I partake in soft drinks when they're available.
Yeah, I think toward the tail end of my career, after all the cuts and stuff, and I couldn't afford to buy my own lunch, I took a couple of drinks here and there. But yeah, for the most part, like, I try to remain as objective as I can, and like, you have to. That's why I don't have a team. I spent the first 6-7 years of my life down in LA, and we had season tickets to the Dodger games, but I'm not like a diehard Dodger fan.
Do you think that was kind of like beaten out of you by working in the media?
Kind of, and just seeing my grandfather working for the LA Times, like a really respected, during the heyday, during when the Lakers were Showtime, and when the Dodgers, Gibby was hitting home runs off.
Did he write sports?
Yeah, his beat was mainly, his name was Dan Hafner, he covered mostly PGA stuff, mostly golf. But, you know, I remember my first baseball game I went to, 86, it was Dodgers Reds, and he invited me to that game, and we were up in the press box, and he brought us totally objective. He brought me a signed baseball from all the players on the Dodgers that day. But
so, you know, so they let kids in the press box in the 80s.
No, he went down there and got the ball and brought it up for me. But
in the press box.
Yeah.
You got to sit in the press box.
Oh yeah, in the press box. The Times had a suite.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. I don't know if they do anymore, but
there you go.
Back when the Times was rolling in dough, they had it.
Not rolling in dough so much anymore.
Yeah. So I mean, it was kind of in my blood, I guess you could say, and so I always try to remain as objective as possible.
So you're letting me know that you had kind of a new project that you're working on.
Yeah.
Tell me about your new project.
Well, every year on the anniversary of Ball Hype being launched, and toward the end of the year, we always have like our year-end awards where we highlight the best whatever baseball blogger of the year on Ball Hyped, or the best football blogger, or, you know, the best writer. Just different awards like that. And last year we did a huge video where we highlighted the top like 25 bloggers on the site when Ball Hype turned 1.
Is that so, like, volume wise?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this year we wanted to give back. I mean, instead of patting ourselves on the back for two fun years, we want to give something back to all the bloggers that basically make the site. So we created BallHype.net, which is our own original content network.
So and you write the stuff for BallHype.net, right? You and
a little
you and,
bit of it.
I'm you more and people of, that yeah. that are close to you or that you've developed a relationship yeah. with. It's your blog, basically.
Yeah. There's probably a dozen or so contributors yeah. there. And so what we're going to do is basically give the blog to them. Because, I mean, my biggest you talked about what are your pet peeves. You know, I've written for three top 1,000 websites. And I'm not going to say who they were. But when you're a blogger for these huge sites, the money you get for doing it is like half of 1%, you know, of the ad revenue. So
that's generated by your writing specifically.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, why are you killing yourself writing 100 posts, you know, a month when you're getting 50 cents a post?
It's the Bill and Ted paradox.
It is.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The Bill and Ted, we're never going to be good until we get, is it Eddie Van Halen? Yeah. But Eddie Van Halen's never going to come and play with us unless we're totally awesome.
Exactly. So what do we do? I think that the bloggers need to get what they deserve. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to turn the site over to all the bloggers and we're going to give them 100% of the ad revenue, which I don't know of any major sports blog networks that do that. You know, all the big dogs have basically sold out. And if you know, you saw a Bleacher Report recently or SB Nation,
oh, yeah.
sites have gotten hundreds of millions of dollars and the bloggers haven't seen much of it. You know, they're some of them are getting paid for their work.
Well, and they cause sites like superstars, like guys from like Free Darko mm-hmm. and some of those other sites to go. I think the one guy from Free Darko is on Bleacher Report now and he probably makes good money, but he's like the superstar and then everybody else is
exactly
like aspiring to be that and probably not getting
exactly.
Yeah.
So my thing is just to reward those guys that are putting in the work, kind of the middle rung bloggers, if you will, that haven't got their name out there yet. We're almost like a farm system to some of those big networks for a while there.
Uh-huh.
So instead of, you know, just having them write for free, we're just going to give them all the ad revenue. And so we did almost like a Kickstarter campaign where we're going to try to raise some money, some pledges from the community. And we're going to take that money and figure out how to develop that ad revenue model where each one of those bloggers can have their own setup. And if they get 1 million page views on their post, they're going to get all the ad revenue that comes in from their work.
Right.
So on BallHype.net.
Like whether it's levels or a total amount of money or whatever, mm-hmm. or total amount of hits or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
We'll post.
So you're still trying to figure out kind of some of the details with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. By the time this goes live, we'll have a link at the top of BallHype.net. And you can go there for more information about it. It's not going to be on Kickstarter. It's going to be on another site because you can't promote social networking sites, they said, on Kickstarter. I don't know if Kickstarter doesn't want to offend the people that gave them VC money too, like some of these major blog networks, but they didn't go for this campaign when we pitched it. So we're going to Indiegogo.com. Okay. And yeah, it's up there right now. I'll promote it on BallHype.net. And if anybody wants to blog there and get 100% of that revenue.
Is there a name of this website?
Right now, it's BallHype.net.
Just BallHype.net for now. Just coming straight from there.
Yeah, BallHype.com is the social sharing site that any bloggers can go to and promote their stuff. You just put like a little, like a paragraph that links back to your post.
300 words, I think.
Yeah, kind of just a teaser, if you will, to your blog post. And you'll get a link out of it and you'll get the SEO value and the traffic.
Right.
BallHype.net is our own original content network. Because Google doesn't like aggregate content as much nowadays.
Right.
So that's why we kind of spun off and did our own network.
Okay.
And it started to take off. The guys love it. And that's without giving them any compensation for it.
Right.
So now we're just going to turn it over to them. And, you know, it'll go as far as they want
to
take it.
To the guys at BallHype.net.
Yeah.
Got it.
It'll go as far as they want to take it.
Great. And that sounds good. And you said there's about 12 guys there at BallHype.net who are
right now. There's like 20 bloggers on there, but they're not as active. There's 12 core bloggers that are just really doing well.
That do a lot of stuff. Yeah. What's the most undercovered thing in sports? I mean, you talked about the most overcovered Tebow, stuff like that. What if you could say, I want these types of stories in the blogosphere or in newspapers, what types of stories would those be?
Investigative. That's what worries me about this whole thing, is newspapers cutting their staff, all their diehard beat writers that are digging up these great stories, you know, and then having to rely on AP or bloggers that don't have journalism degrees, stirring up these investigative pieces that we need as a society. You know, if there's something dirty going on out there, if the Penn State situation's going on out there, we need someone to uncover this. But if you don't have, like I said, if you cut off all your fingers and you don't have the people to write the stories, how are we going to uncover, you know, and do the watchdog journalism that
if you don't have people with integrity, like, because the, I mean, I'm not going to, I have integrity, right? As as a blogger, I can say that, but there's no accountability. People with some accountability behind them as far as papers go, mm-hmm. or organizations, news organizations, that's kind of what you're talking about
Think so. And that niche will be filled by bloggers, right? The bloggers that know, like Cal Poly, for example. Like, we're lucky that we have a full-time beat writer dedicated to Cal Poly, right. But maybe someday we don't. So what if there's dirt going on there?
Right.
Who's going to dig that up unless it's a student or it's a blogger?
Right.
And that's where it's going to have to go unless the newspapers do accept the web and they start crushing it more on the web and bulk up their staffs again. But I don't know too many newspapers that are ramping up right now. A lot of them are just cutting back, you know, tightening up their
belt. Conservative, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So unless they're doing a lot of the new media stuff, you read, uh-huh. like the Orange County Register uh-huh. is doing a lot more new media stuff, and they're actually hiring. They're bringing on people, which you don't hear about now in newspapers.
What's your favorite type of non-print media that you get? I mean, obviously, like video replays are great, but they still mm-hmm. take a while to load a page or something like that. What's your favorite type of thing to do? I mean, for me, I'll just tell you what mine is.
Yeah.
It's the podcast format. I love listening to, whether it's, you know, the BS report on ESPN. I love listening to like Adam Carolla's show on the podcast mm-hmm. network that I have. I think Stitcher.com is a really cool website. What's your favorite kind of media that way?
I enjoy it all. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm pretty, like I said, ADD, so I'll be working online and I'll always have SportsCenter going. I'll watch SportsCenter 4 hours straight, same stuff 4 different times, you know? But yeah, like you said, on my commute every day, I love listening to the podcast. There isn't a day where I don't try to learn something new and listen to, you know, either NPR or listen to like
NPR has some great ones.
There are some social media podcasts out there about stuff you can do to like, you know, promote your blog. Anything you can do to get better, I'm always trying to do.
In the spirit of your former job, that's the last question, and it's one that actually, I guess you were his predecessor. What does that make him? You're the guy who came after you at the Tribune has been asking a lot of players about what their spirit animal is, or what animal they most align with. So I'm going to ask you that. What's your spirit animal, Brian Mill?
My spirit animal. Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Maybe you'll have to blog about it.
I will have to blog about that. Check it out at ballhype.com.
Ballhype.com.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm always grinding. So, like, I get 3 hours of sleep at night. So, pick a nocturnal animal. I don't know.
A nocturnal animal that just doesn't give up.
Yeah.
Like the mice in my attic.
There you go.
That sharpen their teeth.
Yeah, I'm like a rat. That's what I am. I'm like the rat in your attic. Tearing up stuff, trying to dig up dirt.
There you go. Absolutely. Putting things together. I don't know.
There you go. That's a good way to go out. I'm a rat. There you go.
I didn't say it straight. You said it, not me. So if Brian Milne, if you're a small business and you want a website or you want help creating a website, you can go to Meadows Interactive, right? Is that what you do too?
Yeah, meadowsinteractive.com if you need a website. Actually designed some sports blogs. The pigskinreport.com. We just did that site. Eric over there that runs that site wanted it to be looking like ESPN. So we designed a WordPress theme that looked just like ESPN's old site before they kind of screwed it up with this last redesign. So I enjoy, that's what I really enjoy is web projects and like, you know, helping making people's stuff look really good and better showcase their content, stuff like that. So,
yeah, Yahoo's old website was the perfect national.
Exactly.
National, I feel like. From.
And they had a nice mix of the fantasy sports too, which Yahoo's really
great
at.
It was so good there, yeah. And then they redesigned it and it was no good. CBS Sports did that recently too. And then ballhype.com for all kinds of different blogs from around the country, Ballhype, which Fansmanship does try to post on as much as we can. Ballhype.net is a place with original content. And Brian Milne, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, go to fansmanship.com too. That's awesome.
Hopefully you're here.
I'll have to contribute to that.
Hopefully if you're
now.
Listening to this, you're here. And yeah, we hope we can get some contributions from Brian too.
Yeah, let's try to do this more often. This was fun.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com. Well, I've been stuck on down in trouble town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Signs out.